have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring new good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Welcome back to Elation Radio. Shout out to Sister Kimmy, the producer extraordinaire. Shout out to Jason, my brother. I just want to say thank you. And God has been blessing this week. He has blessed me tremendously, especially today, because he woke me up this morning. But I've been feeling really good today. Today I hope we have an informative show for you. It's just amazing. I was talking with Jason and we were discussing like a show we wanted to do. And today he texts me with an idea. And I was like, you know, you got it. You handle it, right? But it's so amazing because I was talking to I was talking to someone earlier. I was talking to Chris earlier. He used to be a regular on the show, but I was talking to him earlier, and he hit me with a scripture. He said, man, the first Psalm, well, he said Psalm 1, but I knew what he was talking about. He said, the first Psalm. I said, what? He said, yeah, the very first one. I said, wow. So he said, what does it say? And I was like, bro, you got to get me started. I don't know every song by heart. You know, I don't know every one. But I got to the point, and I said, blessed is the one who does not walk, you know what I'm saying, who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners. Anyway, I went through the scripture. Let me go ahead and read it. I'm gonna read the version that I got here. Hold on. Give me one second. One second for me here. All right, so blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Mute yourself. Law of the Lord. And who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you why that's significant. That is significant because, again, it took me to another scripture, which is Jeremiah 17, 7, and 8. I won't read that one. Well, yeah, I will. Let me go ahead and read it. It says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. All right. So the reason those two scriptures are significant with me today, because, like I said before, Jason and I were texting back and forth, and he had an idea, and I'm like, cool, run with it. It's great. Well, then I have this conversation with Chris, which was actually, I think it was before Jason and I text, but, and he hit me with the first Psalm. And so, Jason, the reason why I think that it's just divine intervention, I'm telling you, and your suggestion about the show was because you wanted to talk about success. You wanted to talk about success. And when I read that first Psalm, how much more success? What says success more than that to me? And, of course, Jeremiah 17, you know, when you don't fear, when you have a successful mindset. So with that being said, Jason, I want to bring you in. Tell us how your day's been, man, and let's talk a little bit about this.
Hey, my man, how you doing today?
Ah, beautiful, man, beautiful. Excited, encouraged, and a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah. So good day today, you know. We talk about success. Got some projects at work that we're kind of getting over the finish line, and you know, we're having some level of success, some level of opportunities, but you know, I just like to, you know, like I said, opportunity is always, you know, a good thing to have. So, you know, things we could do better, we're figuring that out, but you know, things that went well, so it's been a good week, you know, and I like this topic. You know, it came to me as we were talking because I'm actually reading a book, and the book talks about, you know, discipline and how to build a disciplined life and how to just, you know, position yourself to take the challenges of the world and then convert those and change those to fuel you to reach your goal. So it was focused on discipline and you know, making sure that you do certain things, develop certain habits and behavior. But ultimately, the bigger overarching thing was, how do I set myself up to be successful? So, yeah, this has been something I've been kind of studying on the last couple of weeks. It's actually a book I'm reading with my son, so that's why, you know, I kind of got into it. He actually, you know, he picked it out himself, and I'm like, hey, let's read it together, you know, hold each other accountable. So yeah, I'm excited about this topic today.
Okay, well, you know, I don't mind just opening up the book, jump to the first page, but before we get started, as we move forward in this topic, I got one question. And let's define what success is. What is success to you?
So for me, you know, my level of success, I tell people it's real simple. The best version of myself that God created me to be. And that's it.
Mm.
Right?
I like that.
And always, And with that, so the challenge, it's a very simple statement, but as you break it down, you got to understand what that means, right?
Right.
First and foremost, you got to look at the, you got to look at, okay, what is my frame of reference? You know, how am I judging success? And when I say what God calls me to be, that is, you know, that's twofold. It's an act of submission by saying, okay, God, you set the standards. You tell me what it is. And then it motivates me to, well, if I need to know what's good for God, I got to know God, right? So now I got to develop a relationship to understand, like, okay, what is your definition of great? What version of me have you created me for? You know, and then how do I strive and get into that? And the only way I can do that is by cultivating that relationship, getting to know him, you know, his character, getting to know, you know, looking at my experiences and the things he's blessed me with. And I say a blessing, even though it don't feel good sometimes, you know, two divorces, you know, I call those blessings, right? Even though most people are like, oh, man, that's, you didn't honor your marriage like in the Bible. I'm like, yeah, you're right. But the beautiful thing is I serve a God who knows that, you know, we ain't perfect, but those blessings he's given me is like, how do I use those? How do I use those experiences to be successful, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, second fold is that submission not only to his standard of who I am, but also his standard of what great is, right?
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
Separating myself from the world, right? So, you know, not trying to, you know, get all the money, get all the clout, but, okay, God, what do you call success? So that's how I would define success. So.
Okay, because I like that version. I mean, I think when I looked up success online, I found a definition, and that definition was basically achieving an aim that one sets forth. The accomplishment of an aim or purpose. So I'm with that. And my thing about success is I like how you define it. It is definitely a great way of putting it. Because you put God first and you honor God in everything you do. So success is having the, well, I'm going to change this a little bit, that the best godly life that we can lead. But I like that. So now you and your son are reading the books. How did you get to the point, or what made him want to read this book? How did you guys even get on this topic?
You know, I would tell you, like, my son, you know, he's 17, entering his senior year in high school, and he came and lived with me for a couple of months, and we always talked about, you know, just that, having a goal, reaching your goal. Any conversation we had, I would say the same thing to him: what's your game plan? And I think, you know, in that, you know, he would always tell me something, and then when I would follow back up and say, how did that turn out? Right? Those are my two questions. What's your game plan? How did that turn out? And from that, you know, it was pretty amazing that he came to me one day and said, hey, Dad, you know, I need some money. Can you give money for it? I want to buy these books. I'm like, okay, what kind of books you want? Well, you know, I've been looking at these books, and, you know, there's the kind of things that help me get motivated. I recognize that I don't have discipline in my life and those type of things. So I had him give me over the title. It was about six books, and I was reading the synopsis of each one of those books. I'm like, okay, my man's ready to do it, right? So it was actually something in him where he recognized, hey, there's something in my life that I'm not quite good at, right, that I might still need some help and assistance with. So let me go out and get the resources that I need. So she actually turned me on to the book, about the books, and that's kind of how we got there.
Okay. Okay, so your son came to you, and it's just because he wanted more structure and more discipline in his life.
Right.
So I guess for lack of a better way of putting it, how is just reading a book, how does that help make the relationship that you guys have closer together, better, make him more successful his senior year? How's that working? Like, tell us more about what
good,
that, what your interactions like.
Tell us more about what? What'd you say? I'm sorry.
Your interaction. Tell us more about how the interaction and stuff is going.
So we make a concerted effort to talk about the book. He's taking notes, and we try to get together at least once a week and review the notes that he's taken. I review my thoughts about it, and then we talk about action items, right? We read this book. We've taken these notes. We've got these new ideas in our heads. Now, how do we make them action? How do we turn them to action items that now we can implement in our life? And from there, we go back to now we got the implementation stage. Now it's that hard word, accountability, right? Uh-oh. And the beautiful thing is I'm challenging him to hold me accountable as I hold him accountable, because we're going through this process together, right?
Okay.
And this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, let's back up a little, though. You just jump past it. So how do you get to the implementation stage? What went into that? What goes into it? I mean, we're talking about a roadmap to success, how to be more successful. So let's break it off one little bite at a time.
So I would say anytime you read a book and you're getting that new knowledge and information, it's imperative to try to envision yourself, how does this fit in my life? Understanding some of the concepts, understanding the direction they're giving you. Like one chapter talked about, how to use anger to fuel yourself forward, right? When I read that chapter, I kind of thought about times where I felt angry, right? Thought about my response to that, and I thought about, how do I implement some of these instructions in the book and envision myself doing it in that situation, in that scenario, and kind of keep working through that, right? And almost training myself, in my mind of how to respond. Right? So that when that situation comes up again, I now have a new thought process, right? So when you talk about implementation, and this is what one of the things that drove me with this topic, you got to develop better habits, better mindsets, right? Better responses. And reading those books, it helps you retrain yourself. Now, the reality of it is, the first time I get angry, I'm probably not going to respond to that training, but I know I'm going to fall back on it and say, oh, remember that? Remember how the books say handle this, and then completely start reinforcing that again, so that the next time I get angry, I still may not execute immediately, but I may stop and pause because now I got alternatives, right? All right, do I respond the way I've always responded, or do I, now that I've got this new tool teaching me how to respond to this, do I use that new tool?
Okay. All right. Well, what other steps are you working on? Or take us to the next step.
So now that we got to implement, now that you've kind of developed that process, for me, it's now just going out and doing life, and then always, that evaluation after the fact. Once you get into a situation, no matter how you handle the situation, being able to take a step back and say, okay, could I have done something different? Right? Was there a concept in the book that I could have employed in this situation, right? And then if there was, we go back and revisit. What was that concept, right? Make sure I committed to my memory and then figure out, why did I not employ it? You know what? I just got caught up in my feelings, and I went right back to my natural state of being. I went back to what is my normal response, or should I say reaction, right? Because there's no thought to it. I'm just reacting. Right, and evaluating myself there. So I think, like I said, when you learn these new concepts, it's always good to, play them out in your head, and then when situations play out, taking a step back, as you get it, because a lot of times it's a heightened state of emotions. As you get at a heightened state of emotion, ask yourself, could I have deployed a different alternative, a different action? And this is where I feel like most people fail in their growth process, because they realize, man, when I get mad, I don't want to yell at my kids, or I don't want to yell at my spouse, I don't want to just blow up. But they never equip themselves with a different alternatives. So when they do that self-evaluation process, could I have done something different? Well, no, this is all I know. So in their head, there's no growth there. That's why it's important to get new alternatives, so that when I get mad and I ask myself that question again, you know what, that book said I should have done this, right? Now I got a different alternative. Now that internal conversation goes a little different. man, why did I do that, right? And now you start that process of understanding yourself and understanding how you respond to situations. And then once you have that understanding, now you can start making effective changes, right? And you're not sitting there saying, you know, man, I hate when I do this. I hate when I always do this. I always do this. Right now, and I think, honestly, that's where a lot of people fail, because they don't give themselves other alternatives. Just like, okay, how are you going to respond in this situation? And they never think about it. They never, you know, process it. They never prepare for it. And when they get in the situation, they respond like they always respond. I mean, they react just like they always react, but in their head, they never develop another alternative.
Yeah, they act like it's all brand new. This is the first time I've ever been here. I'm untrained. Because, you know, that's always my philosophy. There's trained and there's untrained. And we have to, yeah, I liked it. I like where you're going with this. Now let me ask you this. How long have you been reading this book? You and your son, how long have you been reading it?
So we started probably about 2 weeks ago, and we finished a couple of days ago. So we read it for probably about a week and a half.
Really? So I read the entire book in a week and a half?
Yeah, it wasn't a long read, right? Now, the beautiful thing, the process of going through it was we committed to doing about 40 pages a day, right? And it was great because even in reading the book, we held some accountability to each other. And there was days where I didn't quite hit my 40 and I had to text him, like, I didn't get my 40. How about you? No, Daddy, I didn't either, right? You know, so although it took a week and a half, we were supposed to have it done in about 4 days. But because, because we didn't, you know, stick to the goal. But the beautiful thing about that, the process. And I think that's another thing, right? We've got to sometimes, you know, the outcome is going to get there, but you don't get to the outcome without the process. So although we fell short this time around, it gives us something to build off of. All right, homeboy, let's do this again. And reevaluate it. Yeah, 40 pages sound like it was easy. Nah, bro, maybe we need to drop that down to 20. Maybe we need to drop that down to 30. You know, be realistic with ourselves, you know, and give ourselves a chance. This is what you taught me. Give yourself a chance, an opportunity to fail. And just know, all right, it's part of the process.
That's right. You got to give yourself that permission, because if you don't, you'll be so fixated on being perfect or being 100% right that you'll miss the whole exercise. You'll miss the value in the exercise, because that's one of the things about being successful that I've learned in life, is definitely give yourself permission to fail. It's okay to fail every once in a while. Don't, you know. So now, since it took you guys a week and a half, did you notice a change, first of all, in yourself? And if so, would you want to share it with us a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, you know, just having those different concepts and evaluating my life and, you know, in different aspects of my life. You know, one of the things the book talked about was looking at, you know, some of the things that you might have struggles with in your life right now, relationships, you know, jobs, you know, if you're trying to launch a new, you know, if you're trying to launch a new business, right? Looking at those things and, you know, reshaping your perspective on it and then being able to have the discipline to go through it. So for me, you know, it's kind of looking at all my situations, all the relationships I have, you know, the things that I feel like I need to be doing better at, right? And employing some of those, like, you know, the book talked about the difference between guilt and shame, right? And was it guilt and shame? Yeah, I think it was guilt and shame. And you know, it says guilt is healthy. You know, if you don't, you know, meet your standards, you know, it's good to feel a little bit of guilt by it, you know, and let that be a motivating. But they talked about shame and how debilitating that shame is, because now you start questioning your character. You start questioning your you know, who you are as a person. You know, I always, you know, it's fun. When I talk to the wife, I ask, is it situational or dispositional? And she's like, well, what do you mean? Well, are you a good person with bad moments, or are you a bad person with good moments? And to be able to recognize those two is important, right?
Yeah.
So that thing, guilt and shame, filthy net. Like, guilt says, you know what, I'm a good person, but I had a bad moment. What do I need to change and do differently so that when I get that next moment, I can do something different. Shame says I'm a bad person. And it's not just with guilt and shame. It's with so many different emotions that I think as people, sometimes we want to make things dispositional that are just situational. I'm not a bad person. I made a bad choice. But then on the opposite end, we want to make things situational that are dispositional. Oh, no. I'm a good husband, although I cheated on my last three wives. It's like, no, boy, that's not a situation anymore. That's kind of you. That's a character issue, right? It's that challenge sometimes to find that balance that I think people struggle in their growth because they want to make certain things just situational when it's like, no, it's deeper than that. It's part of your core being, right? But then they want to make things, you know, this is who I am, when it's like, man, you just had a bad moment, you know? And you know, finding that balance is super difficult. And if you don't, you know, like I said, the challenge, you know, there's pitfalls on both sides of it.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. Because like as you walk through this journey with your son, what is your hope for him? Or has he shared with you his hope? His desires.
You know, I mean, he's always shared to me his desires. You know, he's got some goals in life regarding, like here he is in his senior year, looking to try to get a scholarship to play football at the next level. You know, really looking to advance his his athletic career. You know, hyper focused on that, right? You know, maybe looking to find relationships with a woman that he feels like can match him, he can grow with. You know, so those are his goals. My goals for him is for him to just, it's always been the same. It's to learn about himself and to go through that evaluation that I talked about earlier, because that is so key. You know, it's not about, you know, always, you know, one of the things I love to tell people is like, first time's a mistake, first time's a learning experience, second time it was a mistake. The goal in life is try to mitigate the mistakes and to learn from the opportunities you have, learn from the different things you get put into, and use that as a sense of growth. You know. You know, one of the things for me, my confidence does not come because I'm perfect. It does not come because I'm great at everything. My confidence does not come because I'm the best at a lot of things. My confidence comes because I know who I am. And that's why I try to tell people. And my favorite analogy is like, okay, so look, how much change you got in your pocket? Okay, or no, you go to the store, you have a dollar, you buy 25 cents worth of candy, and you get the change you put in your pocket. If I came to you right after that and said, okay, I say to you, how much are you willing to bet that you know how much is in your pocket? About the change in your pocket. Everybody say, I'll bet everything I got. I'm like, why would you bet that? Because I know. Right. You have knowledge. Do you understand that knowledge you have about whether it's the money in your pocket or yourself gives you the confidence to make statements and to move out in life? And that's why I try to tell people. That's why self-knowledge is so important. Know yourself to be confident. Right. Like, okay, because I'll tell you, there's situations I can tell you right now, no, I'm not going to be successful. I know I'm not. Does that mean I don't do it? No, sometimes I don't, but I know I walk in with a confidence of knowing, like, who I am and, you know, and what the potential outcome is.
Absolutely. Because, like I have these principles and or ideas about success in my head. And, like for me, of course, J-Dub, you know me. One of my big things is, I've got about five or six what I call principles that I stay on top of. One is I try to rise up early every morning. But the crazy thing is before I rise early in the morning, my goal is to get to bed early. So even now, my alarm on my phone, at 10 o'clock, it says, hey, it's time to start winding down. Because I try to be in bed by 11. And so I wake up, I get up at the crack of dawn. Most of the time at 4 o'clock, I'm up. A lot of times, 3:30, I've already woke up. I beat my alarm clock, right? Then the other thing is kind of what you were talking about, Jason. These are things that I employ in my life because The reason I wake up early is because I know for a fact off the top of my head, I got 24 hours in one day. I know off the top of my head, I've got 1,440 minutes in one day. I know off the top of my head that I've got 86,400 seconds in a day. And I used to have this tape to the back of my cell phone, and at the very bottom it said, what are you going to do with it? I have another standard that I learned that when I was a young soldier, that when I was in basic training, it said that if you do something 100 times, it's in your short-term memory. You may forget it in 3 or 4 months or maybe even weeks, but immediately you can access it. It's in your short-term memory. Another thing was 500. When you do something 500 times, it stores it in your long-term memory, which means that you should never, ever forget it. You may have to think about it, but you should never forget it. And then the next one was what I call our military standard, which was 1,000 times. If you repeated this action 1,000 times, it becomes second nature. Right? That means that whatever happens, whatever panic I'm in, whatever traumatic event happens, bam, it's second nature. I got this. But the standard I selected for myself is 3,000 times. Now, how much better than the others would I be if I accomplished this 3,000 times, right? And then my last principle that, again, this kind of goes with where I'm at. My second principle is, you know, allow yourself to fail. Don't be afraid to fail. And what happens with that for me is this, the word focus, the acronym, I use it as an acronym. It means follow one course until you achieve success. So you stay the course. Don't be afraid to fail. And these are some basic things. The next one for me, and this is where I used to suck. This is where when it came to business, when it came to relationships, when it came to romantic relationships, friendships, business, keep your promises. I used to say I'll be there at 8 o'clock. I show up at 10 after 8, 5 after 8. Or, hey, I'm going to get this done by Friday. I don't get it done Friday. I show up early Saturday morning after everybody left Friday, and then I get it fixed. But they still know I didn't fix it by Friday. Keep your promises, right? We're talking about achieving success, and on where I'm coming from, I'm talking about achieving personal as well as business success. I'm talking about your successes with your friends. These principles for me, they carry you in every facet of life, because think about it. If you make your wife a promise and you keep that promise, she can depend on you, she knows, no matter what, right? And then another principle I have is to stay fit. You know what? Get up off your lazy behind and exercise. Jason, you know, I just finished all my cancer stuff. I couldn't walk. You remember when you walked that time with me? I couldn't walk 10 minutes. And then we finally walked, and we walked for over an hour and a half. I was excited. I was happy. And then my next one is open up. Always be open for new opportunities in relationships. Again, whether it be personal or business. Always keep yourself open, because you don't want to come off as closed off. And then the next one, and this is one of the most important ones for me, is to always make time for your goals. Always make time to achieve your goals, because I find that a lot of people, I've been talking to this one friend of mine, this lady, she's frustrated with this role she has at work and these things she's got going, and she's got all these great plans, but she's frustrated because nothing's come together. And the reason I was telling her today, the reason it's not coming together is because you're not making time for it to come together. Listen. Success is not just achieving the goal. True success, for me, Jason, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is knowing how to replicate that success in everything you do. That's true success. That means that, again, I think I have 6 principles in my life that work for me. Right, and they truly do, whether it's personal or professional. I just keep pushing. I never give up. I never quit. And one of the reasons I never quit is, well, I don't know why I never quit. Honestly, I don't know why. I feel like if I keep going and I give it to God, but I keep on going, I'm eventually going to wear this thing down, whatever the obstacle is. I'm eventually going to outlive or outlast that obstacle. It's kind of like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You take enough bites out of that big old huge giant elephant. It may take you many, many decades, but eventually you're going to eat the whole elephant. And so for me, those are kind of my basic things on achieving success. Now, I just wanted to lay those out, Jason. But, like, where do you see this success that you and your son are working on? Where do you see that taking you? What are the have you guys talked about the different types of success in life?
Yeah. We've had a conversation about success and what that looks like. And I love what you said about your principles and, you know, and how you just kind of define things. And one of the things, you know, that jumps out to me, one of the common things in all six of those principles is intentionality and being intentional about the things that you do, right? And I think that's a big thing about success, right? Be intentional.
Yeah.
Set a goal, and then I love that focus acronym. You know, how to go again? That focus acronym?
It starts out with, you know, FOCUS. It's follow one course until you achieve success, or follow one course until success.
And that screams intentionality, right? I'm going to be intentional, right? So kind of to answer your question, you know, as we talked about the different variations of success, I always try to tell my son, you know, as you try to achieve success, you know, have a definition in your own head, right? And don't try to chase someone else's success. Right, and you know, and for me, it's like be the best version of yourself, right? Because here's the deal, I tell everybody all the time, there is no one better in this world being Jason Walter. There's no one better.
That's right.
There's no one else
That's
better
right.
in the world being Jason. I'm the best at it. Now, for me,
right.
I strive to be a better version of that Jason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to continue to grow and push myself. But I'm already coming from a place of success. And you know, so when I talk to my son about that, I try to give him a place to motivate himself, to start from a place of winning and then from a place of growth. And another one of those things that came out in your six principles was there's a sense of identity, right? There's a version of me in my head, and I'm going to fight to keep that version of me, right? I'm not going to allow anything to disrupt that version of me. I'm going to make myself healthy. I'm going to give myself a chance to fail. And identity is so important, you know, so that to motivate you, to drive you. You know, one of the cool things about the book, it talked about that to a point where, you know, just like a lot of things, your identity could be a great motivating factor, but it also can be a factor that causes you pause and actually makes you, you know, become less successful. Because if you have this identity, to your point you said earlier, but perfection, then you're never hitting it, and you're always beating yourself up for where you fall short.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the key thing, I you know, for me, is always making sure you keep things kind of balanced, right? You know, you push yourself, you drive yourself, but you keep a balance of, like, you know what, I am human. I'm not going to get everything done right the first time. But I'm going to commit myself to say, like, I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to grow from it. You know, I'm going to follow that one path until I achieve success. Right?
Yes.
So,
yes. Because, like, again, like, I remember being a young man. And, you know, everybody growing up wants to be a football player. Everybody wants to be a great ball player. I don't care how hard I try. I had a natural ability. I wasn't going to be a great football player. Why? Well, I really ain't that big. So I may be great on a certain level, but rising to the top, pro football, no, ain't going to happen. Okay, let's just face it, ain't going to happen. And so success for me on the football field had to change. It went from being the best player on the field to being the hardest worker. It went from being the best player on the field to being the most disciplined player. It went from being the best player on the field, you hear me, to being the most knowledgeable player on the field. You understand what I'm saying? So success can take on these different forms, and that's why we should not be afraid to fail. Because if we stay focused on something, you know what? One thing I try to tell people is it takes courage to be who you truly are. It takes courage. Jason, I think you heard me talk about this before. I said I was the biggest homophobe on planet Earth, right? That's how I described myself. I couldn't understand it. I didn't want to understand it. I know I am not with it. I'm going to be honest. Though I may not agree with certain things, I'm not even going to get into that. I'm going to say this. It still takes courage to be who you are. It doesn't matter. It takes courage to be who you feel you are. And it's okay. I had to come to the realization when I was a young man, it takes courage to realize. It took courage for me to look at myself wanting to play football and knowing how good I was at Sandlot and with my friends, it took courage for me to understand that, you know, you're not never really going to be good at this. I didn't beat myself up over it. I wasn't trying to go commit suicide. I wasn't fussing and cussing at the coaches. I wasn't bad-mouthing the other running backs because they was better than me. I wasn't talking bad about any of the other players. It took courage for me. And what I'm talking about took courage was to continue to support that team that I knew that I was never going to suit up for, to pat those players on the back. Right? I wasn't even good enough to be a water boy, okay? I was a bench warmer, okay, because I was free. But it took courage to do that. And I, man, when it comes to trying to be successful at anything, it takes courage to be who you are. In other words, if you ain't successful at one thing, it's okay. Try something else. Try something else. And so have you and your son crossed that type of Rubicon yet in your reading and your studying?
Not so far in the studying, but just in life itself. And I love how you say it. It's like, if you're not good at something, try something else. Right? It's that old adage. People go to the doctor. Doctor, it hurts when I do this. Stop doing that. Right? It's so simple when we think about it, but it's so hard. And I think the hard part is the courage to say, well, that's not me. Right? For the longest time, I saw myself as, you know, hey, I'm going to be the CEO of a big company. And for the longest time, I struggled because that was that image of me. And I'm like, Jason, that's not how you're built. You know, you have an understanding of what it takes to reach that goal. You have an understanding of what it means to be that goal, to reach that. You're not cut for that. Right? Because some of the things, when it comes down from a character perspective, from a how you treat people perspective, it doesn't align with who you are. And then I had to realize I'm okay, right? And you know, here I am in my mid-40s, and I finally realized that, you know what, I'm okay being me. And being me means I'm not perfect. And I'll tell you, in my dating life and, you know, going into marriage, that was one thing that I was always good with. Right? You know, people ask me, like my wife, she's like, are you okay with women making more money than me? I'm like, I don't really care. Because at the end of the day is this. I know who I am. I know what I bring to a relationship. I can articulate that. At the end of the day, you're going to decide if you want it or not. And if you decide you don't, I ain't going to get mad because you're like, okay, cool. I'm not for everybody, and not everybody's not for me. And, you know, that statement when you make is like, well, if you're not good at something, try something else. And I think that's the part that people don't understand. When you talk about courage, that's the courage it takes to say, like, to admit, you know what, I'm not good at it, and it's okay, you know, because it's easy for you to beat yourself up and not to move forward. You know, people think that, you know, as I go through these self-deprecating, you know, moments, and I'm beating myself up and I'm telling myself I'm not worthy, I'm not this, I'm not that, you know, that's not a sign of strength. In fact, that's the easy way, because those energies, those things that you do, they don't motivate you to do more. So in reality, going through that process is actually less work for you, right? You know, but it takes courage and it takes energy to say, you know what, hey, not good at this, let me try something else. Because now you got to put work in, right? Instead of beating yourself up, you know, and feeling sorry for yourself. You recognize, like you said, okay, I ain't good at this. I'm going to try something else. And now you got to put more work in. Now you got to exert more energy. Now you got to exert more effort to try to do that new thing and to try that new thing and to build yourself up. So it's it's important that, you know, people get motivated and they figure out, like, the things that, add to my energy. And
right.
When I watch people, especially those people who are like, oh, I'm not good at anything, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, and I look at them, I'm like, you understand that this is the easy way out. No, man, this is hard for me that I have to live with this. No, it's not, because all you got to do is just sit there and talk and feel sorry for yourself. What's hard is to get up at 4 a.m. every morning because you said I'm going to be different, right? What's hard is to say, okay, you know what, this didn't work out, so you know what, I'm going to pick things up and I'm going to try that. That is hard because that's extra energy that you have to expel. What you're doing is just making just using words. And you ain't moving,
that's
you ain't spending no energy. So,
that's right.
Yeah, it may feel harder, but the reality of it is you are not expending near as much energy as it was if you were moving towards something instead of sitting there feeling bad about where you are.
Yeah, ain't that something that when you take that difficult thing and you just kind of chip away at it, just a little bit at a time, don't even really think about it, how quickly you overcome it and you don't even realize it. I tell people all the time, be open to the new challenges, because new challenges, here it is, cause you to change your thinking, to learn something new, and eventually grow beyond your limits. And just being open to a new challenge. I'm not good at football, so what did I do? I got in ROTC. I wasn't only good in ROTC, I was great. I'm going to be honest, I was great. I was one of the smallest, shortest guys in the whole battalion. But I was great. I mean, people know who I was. I mean, I was as popular as the most popular football player, right? But that was because I was open to a new challenge. And I tell people that story, and they laugh at me. Even my son laughed at me when I told them the story. But it's the truth. You have to be open to the new challenges, because true success, you know, like now, if you're just good at something and you stick with it, like I'll use Thomas Edison and Albert Einstein. They had their chosen careers. They had their chosen professions. They were great at these things, but they weren't afraid of failing at these things. Why? Because they kept going again and again and again and again until they finally overcame that obstacle. But I will tell people this. I mean, if you want to find success in your life, again, Jason, I know you were talking about relationship with your son, but I'm just talking about overall success for your quality of life and you as a person. So I think at that point we're both on the same thing, is that you need to look at yourself, you need to take care of yourself, you need to be kind to yourself as well as others, right? Because what happens when you treat yourself nice, Jason? You want to do nice things for yourself, right?
Right.
So taking care of yourself physically means that now you have the stamina to keep going. What we need to do is we need to understand that our dreams only work when we do.
Say that again.
Our dreams only work when we do. What do you mean? What do you mean, Sandy? What do you mean? What's that got to do with success? If you won't get your lazy behind up at 4 o'clock in the morning and start working out before everybody else get here and then continue to work out while they're here, listen, your dream ain't working. You're giving your dream too much time to rest. Your dream is not going to get sharper because you don't use it. If you don't sharpen the blade on that knife, it's going to dull. You keep using it, it's going to dull over time. And those are the things that we have to think about when we think about success. I know for me as an individual, I've known failure throughout my whole life. Failure, failure, failure. But one thing I learned through all my failures in life, here it is. One thing I learned, Jason, was to set myself up for success. And by setting myself up for success, you know what I found?
Mm-hmm.
The sky's the limit. Anything's possible. Anything is possible. Like, I used to like bodybuilding, especially back in the 80s when I was growing up. Loved bodybuilding. And my favorite bodybuilder, unlike most people, was not Arnold Schwarzenegger. It was this little short guy named Franco Colombo. He was 5'5", I believe. Arnold Schwarzenegger was 6'2", 6'3". Pound for pound, the strongest of these two bodybuilders was Franco. I remember the first time I ever saw him, it was a TV show that we used to watch as kids called That's Incredible. And he needed to earn extra money, right? Because he's a bodybuilder, you know, back then they didn't get paid much. It wasn't like he was an actor or anything like that. So he started moving, working for this moving company. And there was this one occasion where there was a refrigerator that had to go up five flights of stairs. This guy strapped this refrigerator to his back and walked that refrigerator all the way upstairs. And you know refrigerators back then wasn't like they are now. They were super heavy. Had big blocks of concrete in the bottom. He was so strong. But, again, he wasn't ever going to be 6 foot. It just wasn't going to happen. He worked with what he had. He accepted the challenge, and he learned, and he grew. So, you know, when I think of success, I'm thinking about things like that. I'm thinking about overcoming the hard stuff, but not just so you can say you overcame something hard, but so you can adapt and overcome any situation and be a better person for it. You know, if you achieve ultimate success, you know, we have some role models on TV and out in the business world who, if they weren't so wealthy, nobody would like them. If they had the same attitudes, nobody would like them. And they're wealthy now, and people still don't like them, but they're so wealthy, people want to be around them. They want to learn their secrets. You know, I think success is being who you are, achieving your goals, and still liking and loving on everyone, allowing people to love on you, and just have overall goodness in life, because that's what God wants for us. That's what I believe. Because it kind of takes me back to those scriptures I read earlier, Jason.
Uh-huh.
And I won't give a whole Bible study. We got about 8 minutes, but I'll take about two or three. But it takes us back to those scriptures. And one of the scriptures, I think it was in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, I got some notes that I wrote for myself, so I don't want nobody thinking I just know this off the top of my head. But in Jeremiah, one of the lines it read, it says, they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. Has no worries in the year of drought. You know, when you think of that part where it says it sends out its roots by the stream, when you think of the word sends out, think of it as also meaning this right here. It means to shoot forth, to stretch out, to be directed or extend out. Look, when you start going through tough times, we're talking about success here. When times get tough, I want people to understand that God will take the difficulties. He'll take your difficult times. He'll take all of your disappointments, all the grief that you feel, whether it be heartache or whatever, or in even your illnesses. He'll take it all, right? All we got to do is allow him to. You know, you hear me talking about some of my hardships in life, but what I've had to learn to do is give them to God. And the reason is because God will cause, and I'm going to say it because it was what is in that scripture, the root system to stretch. You know, he will cause your roots to stretch. In other words, you'll go deeper, right? And when we trust in Christ, we're always connected to the living water. Well, we're connected to him. And a lot of people don't understand that. So when you think about success, look, when you want to give up, you remember that root system. It goes straight to him. And when you stretch out to God, you are connected to a source of the living water. You know what I'm saying? I think we really need to understand that. I know I said a whole bunch just to say that little bit. But that's how it works. That's how it works. If you were a tree and you were planted close to a stream that would never dry up, you would always be growing. You never have to worry about it. You never have to worry about it. That's the way we need to approach our goals in life. And we just need to remember that God's... Go ahead, Jason.
No. And I just want to chime in. I think when you say things about, you know, when you look at some of the biggest structures that's out there, trees, buildings, things like that. What we don't see is the thing that's underneath things, that foundation, right? Whether it be the root system, whether it be that slab of concrete, that foundation is what allows you to grow and to prosper and to bear a lot of fruit, to create a lot of branches, to be the big size that you are. And a lot of people, you know, we forget about the root system and that foundation of everything that we are, so that we want to achieve. We want the growth. We want the success. We want all those things. But what we don't understand is without a great foundation, even if you achieve those things, it just takes a little bit of wind, a little bit of pressure, a little bit of resistance, and it all comes crumbling down, right?
So
when we talk about achieving goals, it's imperative to set those roots. And I love what you said, that if we root ourselves in the living water of God and God's word, then that's something that's going to be constantly growing, right? It's going to grow the roots. The roots are going to become stronger. And then as we start seeing the visual manifestation of that in our lives, we have the capacity to grow even greater than what we would if our root system was a lot smaller.
That's right. That's right, because I believe that God wants us to experience growth, fruitfulness, and prosperity, even when we have this mindset that's rooted in this drought. You know what I'm saying? Like we're experiencing this drought season in our lives, and our minds are taking us places. But I want to encourage everybody. You know, when we talk about success, the prosperity comes not in just one way. It doesn't have just one way of manifesting itself. Most people think being prosperous means that you're going to have a whole bunch of financial gains. Well, what if your prosperity comes in God-given insight? What if your prosperity is a creative idea? What if your prosperity, your success is wisdom? And through that wisdom, it will bring you abundance. Listen. A lot of people don't get it. That's why knowledge is power, because that wisdom can bring you in abundance in so many different ways. And we want to outfit ourselves with God's wisdom so that we can prosper and be successful, not just financially, but corporately and personally. And I believe that's what God wants from us. I think he wants that for us. You know what I'm saying? Because once we have God's wisdom, we will bear much fruit. And I need people to get that. That's where our success is. What they say about the tree? You know a tree by the fruit that it bears?
Right.
Yeah. Which one do you want to be? You want to be that old rotten oak tree that's about to fall down? You know what I mean? Dropping nothing but rotten bark all over the place. And I so love talking about success because, you know, success, it encompasses a lot in life. And most of the time when we think about success, we narrow it down so small, achieving that wonderful coveted sports position, right? Money, you know, money is always number one, material gains. That's not the only part about success. And I love that's what you're going through with your son, Jason. It's that relationship. It's being able to navigate life. That's true success. Because, again, I mentioned that there are some extremely wealthy people who, if they weren't wealthy, nobody would want to be around them. These people spent all their time gaining wealth, and they didn't gain anything else. Nothing. They got money, but what else do they have? I'm going to be honest with you. I would much rather have a loving relationship with friends and family and coworkers than I would money. Because I can tell you this, personal experience, you have all the money you need, you still be broke, hungry, and alone. That's my last second tangent on success. You want to close us out with anything, Jason? We got about 30 seconds here.
No, it's just like how you said, like, you know, let's not be narrow in how we define success. You know, when I was coaching my son, one of the things I tell him is like, you know, it's not about the outcome, it's about the effort. And if you learn to give maximum effort in every situation, success is just a natural outcome for that, right? Wow. If I walk into every situation with the only desire is I am going to give my maximum effort in this situation, the natural outcome is going to be success. whether it be
that's
achieving
right.
a goal or just knowing that this ain't for me, that's success, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I leave everybody to say, like, sometimes it's the outcome is just going to be the result of the effort and the execution. So
yeah.
Focus on the effort, focus on the execution, and the outcome is going to come.
Yes, indeed. I will just say this to that, and we're about to close out here. Just give me 10 seconds, Sister Kimmy. Remember, it ain't quitting if you're doing something different. Okay, just think of something else. With that being said, I just want to say thank you all for tuning in tonight. And remember, find something you love, chase it, embrace it, and that is your relentless pursuit. This man is Cedric and Jason. Thank y'all. God bless you, and we'll be praying for you. Sister Kimmy.
Shout out D on the track, Paint Music Media. Shout out DJ Lee Productions, and I'm Al Cam. But if you a game changer, get my hand. My grind don't hide, win, lose, or drought. I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane. My God is the aim. Put me in, coach, and watch me change the game. Cause I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer. I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer. I'm full court press, I pledge allegiance to the best. Ain't nothing left to give it that reverence that the Father gets. So every day I work the sweat, can get a flesh another rest. They say go hard or go home, I say just do whatever's best. It's evident I'm blessed and I work like it. Fight like a Viking, fight like a Lycan. The difference is I like it, so I shine like I'm lightning. So I'm going head to head with certain tests, who you liking? Yeah, so it's time for coach to put me in. I'm strapping on my shoulder pads, lacing up my cleats, and then I'm gone with the wind. Like I'm gone in 60 seconds, you can't hold me, you can't check me. Check the memo, check the message running through. Like I'm baddest, I'm trucking whoever's standing in my way. Ain't no way you gon' stop me, you better off to let me in. Cause I go hard, even though they say no way that I could win. Like I'm Brett Favre, I'ma ride this game, my head to the sky. My grind don't hide. Win, lose, or drought, I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane. My God is the aim. Put me in, coach, and watch me change the game. Cause I'm a game changer, 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 I'm a game changer. Told you once before, my God came to change the game. Different outlook onto life, a different way to play the lane. Now my rushing yards just got rocketing, now I'm so insane. For the kingdom building, now my shot, it cannot be contained. So I'm gon' pray for change, for myself and then what I can. I don't need no euros or no pesos or no money gram. Shout out to Wado, cause I know that he gon' play this fam. The FCA sports camp, game changer, summer jam. I don't need a 100 grand to tell him that they need the lamb. Just who I am, Al Cam, this where I stand. Man, I'm gon' play the fist, hit so deep to turn it quick. It's like I'm out from the trap to turn around, get back in it. Never that, that's not insane. It's evident your butt they chain. Like I'm Jack Johnson, the same year he changed his name. So I sacrifice my life for the cause, just to win. And if you a game changer, let me see you my represent. My grind don't hide, win, lose, or drought. I'ma ride till I die. Go hard in that lane. My God is the aim. Put me in, coach, and watch me change the game. Cause I'm a game changer, 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 I'm a game changer. Now put me in, coach, now put me in, coach, now put me in, coach, now put me in, coach. I'ma go hard.
I'ma go hard, I'ma go hard, I'ma go hard.
Cause I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer.